to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos. We're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We've assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. A lot of stories to dig into this hour. Again, if you don't know, if you're just tuning in, I am actually in Puerto Rico right now at the Bermuda Triangle base. Producer Forrest Connor is in his new studio on the coast of North Carolina, which is still a work in progress if things sound a little bit iffy from a technical point of view. And then joining us from her lair in the mountains of western North Carolina, we have investigator Shelley Wright. Are you with us, Shelley?
I'm here.
All right, very good. So, you know, Shelley, you have more or less lived in Asheville your whole life. Isn't that right?
This is true.
Okay. So you might remember this, because Forrest, you were in Asheville for what, how many years, like a period of 10 or 15 or something?
About 20 years.
20, okay. Okay, so Shelley, I remember when I was, I'm going to say I was in high school, going to the Asheville Mall. My first real job when I was 16, which is that's the minimum age to be employed in North Carolina, my first real job was as a clerk at B. Dalton Bookseller. So, not surprising, you know, I went straight for the book field. I already actually published a book by then. And so here I was working at the bookstore, and I'm running around the mall a lot. And I remember one day all of these like freaky looking guys that would appear walking around with mohawks and like just crazy looking hairdos basically. And some of them had, you know, they were big, burly-looking guys, and they just looked totally out of place. And I didn't know what was going on, you know, and I mean, what was happening in my little mind here in Asheville. Where were all these strange-looking figures coming from? Does that ring any kind of a bell for you, Shelley?
No, I mean, it's not sounding freaky enough yet.
I know. Well, it turns out that was when they were shooting the movie Last of the Mohicans in the Asheville.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so they were bringing in all of these actors. And, of course, actors, they already have faces that are notable for some reason or another. And they were bringing all these guys in to play the Mohicans, these big, like, scary-looking Indians with these crazy hairdos. And they shot a lot of that movie, especially around Lake Lure and Chimney Rock. So the movie, however, or at least significant portions of the movie, are set in the area we now know as upstate New York, even though they filmed the majority of it around Asheville. How much of that movie do you remember, Shelley? Has it been a while since you've seen it?
You know, I don't think I actually saw the movie. The program director for the radio station I worked for, he was one of the extras in the movie, and I would hear bits and pieces, but I never actually saw the movie.
Okay. And so, Forrest, has it been a while since you saw that movie? Okay, well, Forrest is, hopefully he's alive.
Yeah.
All right, we'll just carry on as if Forrest exists. again, he's in his new studio, so who knows what he, who knows, he may have been.
I'm right here.
Okay, it's been a while since you saw that movie, Forrest?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Wake up. You were taking a nap, weren't you, Forrest? you were eating some cookies, I bet.
Ooh, cookies. That sounds really good.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard through the grapevine that somebody's making for us some cookies tonight. So anyway, that movie, Last of the Mohicans, was set in the midst of the French and Indian War. Now, this is a war that took place around the mid-1700s, and this was during a period of time when the British controlled, or at least believed they controlled, most of what we now know of as sort of the eastern seaboard of the United States. And then the French were coming over here, and they were trying to take land and stake their claim, especially coming down from the Canadian side. And the Indians, of course, just got caught up in all this because all this land was originally theirs, and they were trying to figure out, you know, what where they fit into the mix. And ultimately, for this period of history, the French formed a partnership with the Indians that they would work together to fight the British. And so there was this whole area of land around what is now known as Lake George, New York, in the Adirondack Mountains in upstate New York, where there was a British fort. And without giving you too much of a history lesson, because frankly I don't even remember all the specifics myself, the French and Indians combined, and they went to this British fort in Lake George, which is a beautiful area right there. It's very touristy. As a matter of fact, it looks a lot like Lake Lure, North Carolina does, where you just have a nice, big, calm, serene lake in the midst of these sort of sloping mountains. And it's still a little early in the tourist year there, so a lot of the stuff was closed, frankly, when I was there. But it looks like a little, like, nice town, kind of quaint, where you can just walk around on foot and hit bars and restaurants and gift shops. So the French and the Indians, they went to this British fort, and they were going to attack. And basically, they got the British people to come to some terms of surrender. So, because apparently, you know, at this point, nobody wanted to fight. So the Brits surrendered, and once the bulk of all their soldiers left, which that was part of the surrender, that they had to leave the fort, abandon the fort. Most of the soldiers left and were on their way going somewhere else. And at that time, the only people left behind in the fort were sort of lower level military people and their wives and their children. And at that point, the Indians attacked the fort. Okay, and they weren't supposed to do this. They got all the soldiers out. Then the Indians went into this fort, Fort William Henry, and they just massacred everybody. Okay, they killed, they scalped the women and the children. They disemboweled everybody. We're talking hundreds of people. And then, believe it or not, they roasted them and ate them. Okay? Yeah, they cannibalized these people. And so this fort is where they chose to do the ghost investigation at this event that I went to. So John Tobin, he produced this event, and I go up there to New York, and I met all kinds of really cool people, some of whom I'll have on this show from time to time. I won't get into all that right now. There's too much to talk about. But the event was a big success, and the big grand finale was the ghost investigation at this fort. So, you know this show Fact or Faked that ran on Sci-Fi for a while? Did you ever watch that show, Shelley?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, there was a guy on that show named Ben Hansen, and they teamed me and Ben up. I'd never met Ben before. Turns out he's a really cool guy, and we really hit it off. We have the same kind of mind when it comes to, like, technical stuff. So Ben and I got put up in a station in a particular interesting little nook of this fort. And then throughout the night, they would have these groups kind of revolve around and hit different stations, and then you got like 30 minutes at each station. So Ben and I, we were two of the celebrities, they called us, who got to go in a little bit early. And they had, like, Amy, who does the Dead Files on Travel Channel, and I can't remember her last name right now. And Damian, okay. And Dave Schrader. I mean, you know, they're the folks who do oddities. You know, you're talking Mike and Ryan and Evan from that show. We were all the group that got to kind of go in a little bit early and ask questions. And it turns out that when this fort was ransacked in 1757, they burned it down. But the fort was rebuilt, I think, in the 1940s to exact specifications, with the exception the whole thing was moved 8 feet to the west to compensate for erosion. So here we are in this big fort where these people were just horribly tortured and murdered and eaten, and we're sitting there in this dark little nook that they called the recruitment area, because this is where people would be brought to be enlisted when the fort burned down. But it turns out, a historian came around and I talked to him, that area we were in also used to be the original entrance to the fort. And one of the things that they would do, the Brits would do, to punish their own men for various infractions, is they would shackle their own men to this entrance. And so as people walked in and out of the fort, they were encouraged to spit on these men and smack them around and insult them and degrade them. So, you know, you talk about an area that has a lot of, like, negative energy. We're not just talking about violence here. We're talking about the energy of people who were being penalized, right, and punished. Gosh, is it already break time for us? Yeah, okay.
Actually, we've got a couple minutes.
Okay. Forrest is still piecing together the odds and ends of his studio. So, I'll tell you what, folks. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you some of the interesting things that happened during our ghost investigation there at Fort William Henry. And then we're going to move to Salem, Massachusetts. Salem, Massachusetts. I went there next, where obviously people were tortured and murdered, accused of being witches. All that happened in the 1600s. And then I'm going to tell you about going to Boston, and then, believe it or not, we're going to go to pirate caves in Puerto Rico. Amazing. Don't ask me how all this stuff connects. I'm just telling you the story of what I've been up to on my investigations over the past couple weeks. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Remember now, tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And you can go to speakingofstrange.com for a link, or call them at 828-298-5402. Stick around. The stories will continue on Speaking of Strange right after this. Of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We've assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. A lot of stories to dig into this hour. Again, if you don't know, if you're just tuning in, I am actually in Puerto Rico right now at the Bermuda Triangle Base. Producer Forrest Connor is in his new studio on the coast of North Carolina, which is still a work in progress if things sound a little bit iffy from a technical point of view. And then joining us from her lair in the mountains of western North Carolina, we have investigator Shelley Wright. Are you with us, Shelley?
I'm here.
All right, very good. So, you know, Shelley, you have more or less lived in Asheville your whole life. Isn't that right?
This is true.
Okay. So you might remember this, because Forrest, you were in Asheville for what, how many years, like a period of 10 or 15 or something?
About 20 years.
20, okay. Okay, so Shelley, I remember when I was, I'm going to say I was in high school, going to the Asheville Mall. I actually, my first real job when I was 16, which is that's the minimum age to be employed in North Carolina, my first real job was as a clerk at B. Dalton Bookseller. So, not surprising, you know, I went straight for the book field. I already actually published a book by then. And so here I was working at the bookstore, and I'm running around the mall a lot. And I remember one day all of these, like, freaky-looking guys that would appear walking around with mohawks and, like, just crazy-looking hairdos, basically. And some of them had, you know, they were big, burly-looking guys, and they just looked totally out of place. And I didn't know what was going on, you know, and I mean, what was happening in my little mind here in Asheville. Where were all these strange-looking figures coming from? Does that ring any kind of a bell for you, Shelley?
No, I mean, it's not sounding freaky enough yet.
I know. Well, it turns out that was when they were shooting the movie Last of the Mohicans in the Asheville.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so they were bringing in all of these actors. And, of course, actors, they already have faces that are notable for some reason or another. And they were bringing all these guys in to play the Mohicans, these big, like, scary-looking Indians with these crazy hairdos. And they shot a lot of that movie, especially around Lake Lure and Chimney Rock. So the movie, however, or at least significant portions of the movie, are set in the area we now know as upstate New York, even though they filmed the majority of it around Asheville. How much of that movie do you remember, Shelley? Has it been a while since you've seen it?
You know, I don't think I actually saw the movie. I the program director for the radio station I worked for, he was one of the extras in the movie, and I would hear bits and pieces, but I never actually saw the movie.
Okay. And so, Forrest, has it been a while since you saw that movie? Okay. Well, Forrest is, hopefully he's alive.
Yeah.
All right, we'll just carry on as if Forrest exists. Again, he's in his new studio, so who knows what he, who knows, he may have been.
I'm right here.
Okay. It's been a while since you saw that movie, Forrest?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Wake up. You were taking a nap, weren't you, Forrest? you were eating some cookies, I bet.
Oh, cookies. That sounds really good.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard through the grapevine that somebody's making Forrest some cookies tonight. So anyway, that movie, Last of the Mohicans, was set in the midst of the French and Indian War. Now, this is a war that took place around the mid-1700s, and this was during a period of time when the British controlled, or at least believed they controlled, most of what we now know of as sort of the eastern seaboard of the United States. And then the French were coming over here, and they were trying to take land and stake their claim, especially coming down from the Canadian side. And the Indians, of course, just got caught up in all this because all this land was originally theirs, and they were trying to figure out, you know, what where they fit into the mix. And ultimately, for this period of history, the French formed a partnership with the Indians that they would work together to fight the British. And so there was this whole area of land around what is now known as Lake George, New York, in the Adirondack Mountains in upstate New York, where there was a British fort. And without giving you too much of a history lesson, because frankly I don't even remember all the specifics myself, the French and Indians combined, and they went to this British fort in Lake George, which is a beautiful area right there. It's very touristy. As a matter of fact, it looks a lot like Lake Lure, North Carolina does, where you just have a nice, big, calm, serene lake in the midst of these sort of sloping mountains. And it's still a little early in the tourist year there, so a lot of the stuff was closed, frankly, when I was there. But it looks like a little, like, nice town, kind of quaint, where you can just walk around on foot and hit bars and restaurants and gift shops. So the French and the Indians, they went to this British fort, and they were going to attack. And basically, they got the British people to come to some terms of surrender. So, because apparently, you know, at this point, nobody wanted to fight. So the Brits surrendered, and once most, the bulk of all their soldiers left, which that was part of the surrender, that they had to leave the fort, abandon the fort. Most of the soldiers left and were on their way going somewhere else. And at that time, the only people left behind in the fort were sort of lower level military people and their wives and their children. And at that point, the Indians attacked the fort. Okay, and they weren't supposed to do this. They got all the soldiers out. Then the Indians went into this fort, Fort William Henry, and they just massacred everybody. Okay, they killed, they scalped the women and the children. They disemboweled everybody. We're talking hundreds of people. And then, believe it or not, they roasted them and ate them. Okay? Yeah, they cannibalized these people. And so this fort is where they chose to do the ghost investigation at this event that I went to. So John Tobin, he produced this event, and I go up there to New York, and I met all kinds of really cool people, some of whom I'll have on this show from time to time. I won't get into all that right now. There's too much to talk about. But the event was a big success, and the big grand finale was the ghost investigation at this fort. So, you know this show Fact or Faked that ran on Sci-Fi for a while? Did you ever watch that show, Shelley?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, there was a guy on that show named Ben Hansen, and they teamed me and Ben up. I'd never met Ben before. Turns out he's a really cool guy, and we really hit it off. We have the same kind of mind when it comes to, like, technical stuff. So Ben and I got put up in a station in a particular interesting little nook of this fort. And then throughout the night, they would have these groups kind of revolve around and hit different stations, and then you got, like, 30 minutes at each station. So Ben and I, we were two of the celebrities, they called us, who got to go in a little bit early. And they had, like, Amy, who does the Dead Files on Travel Channel, and I can't remember her last name right now. And Amy, okay. And Dave Schrader. I mean, you know, they were the folks who do oddities. You know, you're talking Mike and Ryan and Evan from that show. We were all the group that got to kind of go in a little bit early and ask questions. And it turns out that when this fort was ransacked in 1757, they burned it down. But the fort was rebuilt, I think, in the 1940s to exact specifications, with the exception the whole thing was moved 8 feet to the west to compensate for erosion. So here we are in this big fort where these people were just horribly tortured and murdered and eaten, and we're sitting there in this dark little nook that they called the recruitment area, because this is where people would be brought to be enlisted when the fort burned down. But it turns out, a historian came around and I talked to him, that area we were in also used to be the original entrance to the fort. And one of the things that they would do, the Brits would do, to punish their own men for various infractions, is they would shackle their own men to this entrance. And so as people walked in and out of the fort, they were encouraged to spit on these men and smack them around and insult them and degrade them. So, you know, you talk about an area that has a lot of, like, negative energy. We're not just talking about violence here. We're talking about the energy of people who were being penalized, right, and punished. Gosh, is it already break time for us? Yeah, okay.
Actually, we've got a couple minutes.
Okay. Forrest is still piecing together the odds and ends of his studio. So, I'll tell you what, folks. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you some of the interesting things that happened during our ghost investigation there at Fort William Henry. And then we're going to move to Salem, Massachusetts. Salem, Massachusetts. I went there next, where obviously people were tortured and murdered, accused of being witches. All that happened in the 1600s. And then I'm going to tell you about going to Boston. And then, believe it or not, we're going to go to pirate caves in Puerto Rico. Amazing. Don't ask me how all this stuff connects. I'm just telling you the story of what I've been up to on my investigations over the past couple weeks. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Remember now, tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And you can go to speakingofstrange.com for a link, or call them at 828-298-5402. Stick around. The stories will continue on Speaking of Strange right after this. It's strange to say it, but I've got to be honest with all of you. If reincarnation exists, and I believe it does, then I have always felt that I played some kind of role in the American Revolutionary War. I'm not saying that I was some bigwig or whatever, but I'm just saying that I feel a big connection to the events of that period. And when you go to a place like Boston or Salem or Lexington and Concord, it brings up a lot of really interesting and often confusing sensations if you feel like you were a part of all that. And so I had a very strange dream-like experience on this part of my trip. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. And going to Salem didn't feel that great to me. By the way, this is Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. We've temporarily lost our connection with Shelley Wright, but we're working to get her back. Joshua T. Warren. You know, you go in and they sell you potions, and they're all, you know, they're cool places to go into. What I can tell you is that the witches are definitely all about some sex, though. There's a lot of sex magic potion stuff in those shops. You know, more than anything else. And when you are walking through Salem and somebody says, like, hey, this is the spot where they crushed Giles Corey to death. Do you want to go over there and have your picture made? No. No, I didn't feel like this was something to celebrate. It felt, again, very dreary to me. So I guess it's like hallowed ground. You know, it'd be similar, well, to going to any place where some kind of horrible thing happened. It's fascinating to stand there and to look and to say, okay, this is where this happened. But you feel almost, you definitely don't feel like some giddy tourist. At least I didn't. And, you know, there's still a lot of questions about why exactly that incident happened the way it did in Salem. Various medical and psychological explanations for the observed symptoms include psychological hysteria in response to Indian attacks, or convulsive ergotism caused by eating rye bread made from grain infected by the fungus Claviceps purpurea, which is a natural substance from which LSD is derived, or an epidemic of bird-borne encephalitis lethargica, which is a sleep paralysis to explain the nocturnal attacks alleged by some of the accusers. Other modern historians are less inclined to believe in biological explanations, preferring instead to explore motivations such as jealousy, spite, and need for attention to explain the behavior that they contend was simply acting. When all these people, these young ladies, started spearheading the accusations against these people in the community saying they were witches. So anyway, moving on from there, I went into Boston. Boston it's an impressive city. It's a big city. It's a confusing city. It was not as dynamic as a lot of cities I've been to. For example, in my opinion, if you're going to go to a big city, and I'm not really a big city kind of guy, frankly, but if you're going to go to a big city, if you want to get the most bang for your buck, I say go to Chicago. Chicago's dramatic. It's like walking into Gotham City in a Batman comic book. Boston, it was just more like a big city. You know what? Forrest, it almost kind of had like a Charlotte kind of vibe.
Do you know that?
Yeah. And so one of the big things that I wanted to do, like the first place where I wanted to go in Boston, was the Green Dragon Tavern. Now, you may have never heard of the Green Dragon, but the Green Dragon was the tavern where many of the founders used to get together and plot the revolution. This is where all the Freemasons used to get together. As a matter of fact, in 1766, the Green Dragon was sold to the many of these significant founders were Freemasons. Secret meetings there. The Boston Tea Party was planned there. Paul Revere left on his famous midnight ride from there. I mean, talk about the seat, the hub, the hive of the revolution. And it's actually not torn down in the late 1800s, I think. And that the actual site is currently a parking garage. But it really kept... Oh, because I sat down at the bar and they had a quote written over the bar. The hand. And continue. 1795. And then right down from it was America's oldest restaurant, the old Union Oyster House, continuously in operation since 1826. And the one cool thing in there is they have a booth that was the Kennedy booth, a little dim booth where John F. Kennedy and his cronies used to hang out. And the Union House, excellent, excellent food. Let me tell you, everybody told us it was excellent. They were right. And then, far as get a load of this, I went to a place called the Beantown Pub, which is the only place in the world where you can sit down and drink a Sam Adams beer while looking at Sam Adams' grave.
Wow.
See, guys like you and me can appreciate that, right?
Yes.
I don't know how many people really would appreciate that, because I go into this pub and I figured, like, everybody's going to be fighting for the best seat. No, they're just off, you know, doing their own thing. I sat right down and got, like, the best, most direct view of Sam Adams' grave right there across the street, right in front of me. It's a little tombstone with a kind of greenish-looking copper plate on it. And toasted Sam Adams' grave, drinking a Sam Adams beer.
That's awesome. He would have been proud.
I hope so.
I would have been proud.
Yeah. So I would say, when the day comes that you make it to Boston, you got to go do that one, Forrest. But, Forrest, can you guess the last thing that was a must-do on my list in Boston? So this is more like a pub crawl at this point. I had to go to the place that was the inspiration for Cheers.
Oh, yeah.
And it's called the Bull and Finch. It's next to Boston Common, which is the oldest sort of park in America. And you walk down this little narrow set of steps. And if you remember the show Cheers, they actually have an illustration of this site in the opening credits. And this, it's a tiny little bar, just jam-packed, crammed full of people. And sure enough, if you can find a seat, it's a wonderful place to just lose yourself in a conversation, because everybody is just so scrunched up close to each other that, you know, you're having your own private little conversations. And I also have an affinity for that because my friend Jim Castle, who produced the XOPS program that I think was repressed by the powers that be, he actually designed the logo for the Cheers show. He sat down with his own hand and drew the logo out. So anyway, we're up on a break again, and when we come back, we're going to move down to my hunt for a pirate cave here in Puerto Rico when I got back. I mean, no wonder I sell wishing machine guys. You know, look at my life. Isn't it amazing all the stuff that I'm able to get opportunities to do? I'm very fortunate, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you about my hunt for the pirate cave of Cofresi. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You are listening to Speaking of Strange. Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Now, keep in mind, next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. And that's when we talk about some of the more outrageous and controversial stuff. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. And boy, do I have a stack of it tonight, okay? I also want to let you know, if you don't know this, remind you, we're having some technical issues tonight. I'm way out here in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and I'm in Puerto Rico. Forrest is in the middle of our new studio on the coast of North Carolina. Shelley's experiencing some troubling weather there in western North Carolina. But that's the price you pay for getting signals beamed in all over the place, giving you a truly kick-ass experience, in my
opinion. It's the Speaking of Strange experience.
Yeah, that's right. It's a, we have created our own miniature Bermuda Triangle for us. Think about that. You, Shelley, and I are the three points of our own little triangle. But anyway, I digress. So I told you that when I finally got back here to Puerto Rico, I wanted to find what they call Cofresi Cave. Roberto Cofresi was not only the most famous pirate in the history of Puerto Rico, but he was actually the most successful pirate during his lifetime. He was born in the late 1700s, and he was executed, I think, about 1825, after very successfully plundering, I'm thinking hundreds of ships. And as a matter of fact, some of his earrings are in the Smithsonian. And Cofresi was born right here. I'm in a place called Cabo Rojo. Boca Raton is a part of Cabo Rojo. That's where Cofresi was from. Cofresi learned to go out and to, you know, seafare right here behind my place here. Okay, so this is Cofresi land. One of my favorite bakeries is called the Cofresi Bakery. It's on Cofresi Lane. One of my favorite restaurants is called El Pirata, after the pirate Cofresi. So Cofresi is kind of like a Robin Hood figure here that is celebrated ironically. But anyway, people have always said that there's this cave called Cofresi Cave, but very few people have been there. Well, a few days ago, Lauren and I decide we're just going to go trekking out into the middle of nowhere and try to find this cave. We went to a beach called Bouye, and which is a beautiful beach. I did a little snorkeling there. The water was nice and clear, and the reefs were just full of life. And then after snorkeling for a while, grabbed a bite to eat, and then decided to go hiking way off around this point, and ended up walking for hours, just the two of us on trails. We never saw another single human being. And we would get to points where you'd reach a fork, and it's like, okay, right or left? It's a crapshoot. Boom, let's go left here. Reach another fork. Which way? Yeah, let's go right here. I don't know how we did it, but we came to a point where we crested a hill, and we looked down, and oh my gosh, in front of us was like this big lagoon with these amazing, craggy rock formations sticking up. It looked like the evil fortress of solitude. Like, instead of ice crystals, you got these big, crazy-looking, craggy rocks sticking up in a circular formation. I swear, you couldn't have done better if you were making a movie for Walt Disney. So we walk down. It takes us forever to walk down to that area, and we start exploring around, and we go around a bend, and I feel this cool draft of air. And I'm like, oh, that's cave air. And then we start to smell the guano, and then we start to hear the bats squeaking. And I walked up on a cave entrance. You know, I think I'm going to try to post this at speakingofstrange.com. I've done a lot of caving, but this one was too dangerous for even me to enter under these circumstances. You need a little rappelling gear, but it was the most just... It looked like an amusement park pirate cave entrance. And another reason I didn't want to go in there is because, you know, I've seen that movie where the guy goes into the ravine and the rock falls on his arm and wedges it and he has to, like, cut his own arm off. I don't want to be in that situation. But it was an amazing find. So I wish I could tell you that I discovered a treasure. But frankly, even if I had gone in and discovered a treasure, I wouldn't tell you about it. Why would I do that? I would keep that a little secret. But I found the cave of the pirate Cofresi, and how's that for an awesome way to wrap up an awesome series of adventures? So we're going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be the last hour of the show. It will be the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. Brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. This is Speaking of Strange.